This is a Flames post-game replay.
And a hard shot, stop, rebound. What a save by Markstrom.
On Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Final score, 5-1. Flames over the Florida Panthers here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Let's go right to the Flames locker room and check in with the winning goaltender of tonight's game. Jacob Markstrom joins us live on the post-game show right now. Jacob, I know there's a lot of talk going into this game about how the group wanted to get their game back. From your vantage point, the guys in front of you, how dialed in did you feel the team was tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot better. Obviously, it's a huge win for us. And, you know, we haven't been performing to where we want to be, and I haven't been close good enough this last little stretch here, so it's been frustrating. And it's, you know, we've been working our butts off in practice, and I think today, you know, I got some bounces, and we got some bounces going forward, scoring some goals. The PK was huge, the power play was great, scoring a couple of goals for us. So it's a big win, and nice to finally get back in the win column. But we got lots to work on and lots to learn from this win.
Can a win over a team like Florida, who's sitting number one overall right now, can that be a springboard win, or does it really matter who you're winning the game against when you'd been in a skid?
No, it's the 2 points. That's all you want, and we got that tonight. So we got to keep building it, and keep doing the little things right. And myself, I got to keep getting better and better every day in practice, since we got a lot of practice time. So
yeah,
got to take advantage of it show when game time starts, you need to be ready and you need to have your best game.
Jacob, how did you feel about your game tonight?
No, it was better. I think, I felt good and body felt good. So moving forward, we got half a week or a week or whatever till the next game here. So it's nice to get some practice and some work with Barbs.
I did want to ask you about the schedule. It has been so stunted. You've been playing and then a break for 4 or 5 days. You play, and then again, you don't play again until Saturday. Finally, that ends after the game on Saturday. But, you know, just as a pro athlete and for a team that is so used to being in a routine, how difficult has this schedule been the last couple of weeks?
Well, I said it before, starting the season, I think we play, we had 6-7 games, road trips, and we play back-to-back and then play every other day and then finish the road trip back-to-back. And people are talking about a, heavy, busy schedule and, how tough it is. And then now we're not playing, we're playing one game a week. It's there's no excuses. We got to, every time you lace them up, you got to get better. And, I thought we had a great week of, a lot of battle drills and a lot of practice. And I got some time in with Barbs to work on my game. So, it's going in the right direction. But, we still need to take some more steps here to be where we want to be.
Final thought for you, Jacob. I know following the loss on Thursday to Ottawa, your head coach talked about wanting to see more emotion from the group. Did you feel that was there in this game tonight?
I thought it was a great game. It's it's huge going up 2-0 in the first, and we've been myself, I've been letting in pretty much the first goal every game, then you start coming from behind, and then it's everything gets a little tougher. But so it was I think it was important to get the first goal there and build from that, and I thought we did a good job with that.
Jacob, thanks for doing this. Good luck on Saturday in Edmonton.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Jacob Markstrom, post-game, their winning goaltender this evening. He makes 28 saves as part of a 5-1 Flames victory. Derek Wills, Peter Labardius. My name is Pat Steinberg, and let's bring in Flames goaltending coach Jason LaBarbera, who joins us on the post-game show as well. Barbs, appreciate the time. Just your overall thoughts on this one tonight. It sure does feel like, to a man, everyone really, really liked the effort and kind of liked the engagement right from the get-go.
Yeah, 100%. And we talked a lot about that this week, and the guys did a really good job of digging in and sticking to it and getting back to sort of the identity that we built earlier in the year, and it's a winning recipe for us. And when we do play like that, we're a tough team to play against.
Jason, twofold: A, how are you feeling? That's one. And B, what did you like in particular about Jacob's game tonight?
Well, I'm feeling better, thanks. COVID definitely got me pretty good. I know some people haven't had too many issues with it, but it it did a number on me, but it's nice to be back.
Good to have you back.
Good to have you back.
Thanks. But no, you know what? With Marky tonight, he made timely saves, I thought, and you know, that's such a key thing for a goalie, where there's stretches, you know, where we carried the play, and then you know they come down to get a scoring chance, and he was ready for it. So, you know, I just thought he did a really good job of making saves when we needed him to, and especially a couple times on the PK. You know, at the start of the second period there, I think they had a couple good chances there on their power play, and he made some good stops. So that's always a good sign.
As a former goaltender, I know that you appreciate players who pay the price by blocking shots. And I think about the Panthers' power plays, especially early in the game, Jason, where they were zipping the puck around and had some great chances. Chris Tanev had a bunch of blocks on the penalty kill. So did Eric Gudbranson. What do those mean, not just to those guys and to the guys that are on the ice with killing off the penalty, but to the team as a whole?
No, that's a great point. I was going to mention that too when I was talking about those PKs. Is those guys did a great job of that. And, you know, you talk about a lot, and you know, when you're going through the PK and about how important blocking shots are. And look, it's not an easy thing. I get it. It's it takes a lot of courage to get in the lane and take that in the body. And you know, Chris Tanev is one of if not the best guys in the league that at it, and he's done it for a long time. And you know, and Goody tonight, Gudbranson did a great job with it too. So, you know, the same thing. It's no different than a goalie. There's timely blocks for those guys, and it's you know, it gives the crowd some energy. It gives the bench some energy. It gives your goalie some energy. And that's just, again, that's another important thing in order to win hockey games.
We're in conversation with Flames goaltending coach Jason LaBarbera following a 5-1 win for the Flames over the Florida Panthers. And Jason, we had Jacob on with us a little earlier on the post-game show, and he probably mentioned four or five times that he hasn't been good enough and took a lot of the recent losing on his shoulders. We've asked you about this before, but now that you're even further along in working with Jacob, just how much does this guy hate to lose? How competitive are we talking about? And just how intense an attitude are we talking about on a day-to-day basis for your number one goalie?
Very. you know, and then again, that's what makes him, you know, a top guy in the league is you have to have that, you know, that F you in your approach. And sometimes, you know, you can, you know, guys like Marky and any really elite athlete, they can be, you know, probably a little bit too hard on themselves at times. And but at the same time, that's what makes them, you know, top guys at their positions. So it's he's such an awesome guy, and he's got great energy about himself, and he wants to win more than anybody. And you know, as a goalie, you do put that pressure on yourself because you are such an important part of the team, and a big reason why, you know, you do win games and lose games. And he knows that, and that's, again, that's what makes him so special.
Jason, how important was the improved puck management for your team tonight?
Huge, for sure, especially against a team like that. You know, they had been rolling here the last, well, really all year, but the last eight games, for sure, they've been humming and scoring a lot of goals. And you know, when you feed teams like that, the transition game, you know, it's you could be in for a long night. And, you know, we probably learned that a little bit when we played them a couple weeks ago, and I thought we did a better job of getting pucks in behind their D and making them have to check and defend us.
Jason, I've got to ask you about Sean Monahan, a 7-time 20 and 3-time 30 goal scorer who played through a really significant hip injury for most of last season, had surgery during the offseason, has been asked to play a different role this season. He only had 2 goals in his first 23 games, but he scores twice tonight, once on the power play, once at even strength, and now has 4 goals in his last 12 games. Are you seeing a different Sean Monahan right now?
For sure. You know, and Sean's a guy that you just can't help but root for. You know, he's such a good person. And I know it's hard. It's hard for guys like that that are used to scoring. And at times, you know, when it's not going their way, it can be difficult. But to his credit, he's really, you know, dug into the other parts of his game and been, you know, a responsible player for us. And you know, if he can get hot here, heck, that's a bonus for us for sure. So, you know, again, a guy like Sean who is trying to do everything right and trying to do all the right things, hopefully. Marky's singing happy birthday to me.
Is it your birthday?
Yeah, it is.
I had it all queued up and ready to go for you at the end, Barb. She's going to wish you a happy birthday. And the best birthday present of all is that you get more practice time. You get, what, two more days of practice before you get to play again.
Yeah, exactly.
This schedule has got to be killing you guys as creatures of habit and loving to play every second day. Instead, you're playing like every fifth day right now. I know that changes after Saturday's game in Edmonton, but how difficult has this schedule been?
Yeah, you know, and I mean, really, the last month is everyone's going through it, you know, with the COVID break that we had, and it has been difficult. I think, you know, and if you look at the league in general, like the scores in the games are, you know, 1980s hockey. So, you know, it's been interesting the last month of just, you know, teams are trying to get their feet back under them from that long break, it's funny, right? Because we're practicing lots right now, but what's going to come ahead now is we're just going to play games. Like, there's going to be zero practice. So, you know, it's important to dig in here for the next little bit and make sure we're doing the right things and creating good habits so that, you know, when we do get on these long stretches where we don't practice, you know, the guys and everybody in general is just ready to go.
Barbs, first of all, good to see you back. Glad you're feeling much better. Second of all, happy birthday. Thanks for doing this, and congrats on the win.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
It's Jason LaBarbera postgame following a 5-1 win for the Flames over the Florida Panthers. Our marquee matchup tonight brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. We were talking about the center ice position for the Flames, and Daryl Sutter mentioned that at the end of the coach's show in his conversation with Lou for our pregame show, talked about how after Elias Lindholm, they needed more from their centers, and was talking, you know, whether it was pointed directly at one or all three or all four. There's some veteran centers on this team. And, you know, Sean Monahan had two goals tonight, and Daryl talked about him post-game. Michael Backlund's line, I thought Lou brought it up a little earlier as well, Derek. Like, that line kind of drove the bus early on. They scored the first 5-on-5 goal for the Flames tonight and really did a nice job and made life difficult on the Sam Bennett line, where they were matched up a lot against, especially in that first period. They needed more. They needed better play from that position, and they got it tonight from Monahan and from Backlund, and those are the two guys that they needed to really step up.
Well, I'm going to start with the first line, which looked a lot more like the line that we had become accustomed to seeing. Elias Lindholm, Johnny Gaudreau, and Matthew Tkachuk were feeling it tonight, and that was fun to watch. And you expect that from them on a regular basis, and you know, that was good to see again. But for me, it was the middle six that really helped the Flames put this game away. And this number will tell you everything you need to know about what Daryl Sutter thought of Michael Backlund's game tonight, which we all agreed had to be better. He played 21 minutes and 32 seconds. There were two players in this game that played more than him. Rasmus Anderson for the Flames and Aaron Ekblad for the Panthers. So that says a mouthful right there. That Backlund spent that much time on the ice, some power play time, lots of penalty kill time, and obviously a good chunk of even strength time as well. But I like that new look line combination, and I like the third line as well. And we've talked about Sean Monahan and the two goals that he scored. And again, they get way more from their men down the middle in this game against the Panthers, which you have to have against a team that's as deep as the Flames' opponents were tonight.
You know, I thought it was really good tonight, even though, again, it was another night where I don't take one iota away from Johnny and his 4 points and Tkachuk with his three. I could tell from shift number one tonight that Elias Lindholm was back closer to having the kind of energy that he has not had due to illness and COVID the last couple of weeks. And he was an excellent player tonight, matched up a lot against Barkov in that line, and did a whale of a job.
Final score here at the Scotiabank Saddledome tonight, 5-1 Flames over the Florida Panthers. Calgary's losing skid snapped at 4, and they take out the number one team in the National Hockey League on home ice. Let's select tonight's hardest working Flame. Lou, which way are you going for tonight's hardest worker?
You know what, guys? I'm really torn in a sense, because two guys in Tanev and Gudbranson, I thought at key times in the penalty kill, were just like, they gave you absolutely everything. I thought Chris had a marvelous night from start to finish. But I'm going to go with the goalie tonight. You know, he's such an important player. He's one of the leaders on this team. And as you heard from Jason LaBarbera, I don't think anybody's harder on himself. Like, this guy is competitive to a point where you probably sometimes have to tell him to dial it down.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, there's a lot of people in life that don't take enough responsibility. I get the sense with everything you hear and everything you observe, this guy takes too much on himself. And when he gets to those points, it probably doesn't always allow him to be at his best. But he was great tonight. He was timely. He had plenty of, you know, hard and difficult chances to deal with and played a whale of a game. And I'm really happy for him. He, for me, embodies a lot about what I really respect in pro athletes.
Their opponent came in with 4-game winning and 9-game point streaks, and during that 9-game stretch, averaged 6 goals a game. 6. The Flames held them to 1 tonight. So they got great goaltending from Jacob Markstrom when they needed it. They didn't need it from start to finish because the bottom line is the forwards and the defensemen in front of the goaltender were just way better tonight. And for me, this is the best that the Flames have played and the closest that they have played to their identity in more than a month. I think about that home game against the Hurricanes on December 9th. And they lost that game 2-1 in overtime. Mm-hmm. But I really liked how the Flames played in that game. The only thing that I would say is they weren't opportunistic enough. Well, in this game, they were plenty opportunistic. They score 5 goals and run away with this game and beat the Panthers by a final score of 5-1. And you know, they snap their 4-game losing streak, and they go into the Battle of Alberta feeling good about themselves on Saturday night. And with everything going on and up in Edmonton right now, I am looking forward to watching that game between the Oilers and the Panthers on Thursday, because the Oilers aren't happy, the Panthers aren't going to be happy, and if Florida defeats Edmonton in that game, the heat will be on the home team going into that Battle of Alberta, round 2 of 4 this season on Saturday night. So I'm really looking forward to that game. But, you know, just a job well done by Daryl Sutter and the coaching staff to prepare the players to play, and by the guys to play what I think was one of their best games so far this season, knocking off the top team in the league tonight.
All right, boys. Talk to you tomorrow. See you on Thursday. Be well and stay warm, please.
Good night, Pat.
Good night, Pat.
Peter Labardius, Derek Wills signing off for the evening. 5-1 your final score. How about a goal and 2 assists for Matthew Tkachuk tonight? Let's hear from him post-game following a win over the Panthers.
Just thoughts, general thoughts on the response and just all around game tonight as a team.
Yeah, I think it's just nice to get back in the win column against a team that beat us pretty good when we played them earlier this month. So definitely want to get back in the win column, and we knew this was going to be probably one of the toughest opponents in the league, and they are, and they were tonight. So that all in all, it's just, you know, nice to get out of the, you know, that little losing streak we're in.
Does a win like this give you guys confidence as a team, you know, and just in offensively as well too? You were able to you know, find the score sheet as a group, a lot of different guys, and especially Sean as well.
Yeah, I think that you know, I think it should give us confidence just playing a more solid game than the past. And another couple days here without a game until we play Saturday. So I'm try to get some rest, you know, get some good work in, and then come out ready to play, you know, try to play one of our best games on Saturday.
Hey, Matthew, I was wondering if it's possible for you to walk us through your goal a bit. It seemed like you were calling for the pass from Elias as you're heading towards the slot, but did you know you got enough to deflect it in?
Yes, I did. But I think just to start, you know, I thought Johnny was going to maybe drop it. So I was behind him once I saw him hook off. I knew he was going to give it to Lindy. So I was going to drive, gave it to Lindy. And then, you know, it kind of handcuffed him just a little bit, and he had to pull it to his forehand a little bit. And I think, I know he was trying to get it to me the whole time, and, might've ramped off the D stick in front of him to start. And it was just kind of in the air behind me, and just tried to get a piece of it and try to whack it in. I did.
Matthew, I guess other than the result, what was different tonight for you guys than maybe the last game against Florida?
easy answer is just the specialty teams are better. Power play got us a couple, and then penalty kill, didn't allow anything.
I can just sneak in two quick ones. For starters, Matthew, after a stretch where it maybe felt like not too much was going your guys' way, what were you kind of most encouraged by tonight? What did you like best about this one?
I thought we just controlled most of the game, in each period. Thought we won the first period. I thought we had a good start. Weathered the storm a little bit in the second period, got a late power play goal, which set us up for the third, which is huge. And then, obviously our penalty kill was great. I thought special teams were probably the most encouraging thing.
And I'm sure everyone in that room is kind of aware of some of the criticism that Sean Monahan's faced. What do you think tonight is going to do for him and his game moving?
Well, I think he does a lot of little things that most people don't notice. I think he's been really solid for us on the power play, especially that I know that's where we're out there most with him. And he's great with draws and great at recovering pucks, and he's a big time threat there, which opens up stuff around for the rest of us. And I just think he's got such a knack for the net and being around the net. And his first goal was just pretty typical Monty, just snapping one back, going to the net, and having a great deflection in. So, we're encouraged by that, but it's a lot of the little things that nobody really notices that we notice in here that impresses us as well.
It's Matthew Tkachuk post-game after a three-point outing. The Flames take a 5-1 victory over the Florida Panthers here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Your phone calls, your texts, next. This is your Flames Talk, Calgary Flames Radio post-game show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This is a Flames post-game replay.
And a hard shot stop, rebound, what a save by Markstrom!
On Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Let's jump in at 960-960 for the text line. We go see what we got tonight. Pat, I'm surprised you recognized how well Matthew played. You usually don't like him. I don't know, that's not true at all. I've been a big fan of Matthew Tkachuk's game this year. Last year, yeah, I thought he had a rough year. This year, he's been generally pretty darn consistent for this Flames team, so I'm not sure what you're hearing in that regard. In saying that, I thought Matthew was very good tonight. I thought Matthew's that entire line was dynamite tonight. Tkachuk was dialed in. Obviously, Johnny with the four assists, he was all over the place. Lindholm, probably his best game since the COVID pause. That line looked like the elite line that we've seen it be for most of this year. This from Mike. Patty, not sure how to assess this game. Florida gave up a lot. Wasn't very impressed with how they checked and defended. But do you know who I was impressed by? The top two lines. I thought they drove the bus for the Flames tonight with the way they checked and competed. I'm honestly not sure why the second line was ever split up, to be honest. If it's about balance, forget it. I'd rather have two lines going for 40 minutes rather than one line going for 20. Keep the top six as is so management can truly assess what needs to be added at the deadline. I tend to agree with you, Mike. I like the look of these lines better when you've got a clear 1-2-3-4, which I think you do right now. Because if Backlund, Coleman, and Mangiapane can play like they have for the most part when they've been put together, then I think that you've got a true kind of all situations number two line. You know what you're getting from your number one line. And yes, it's not as balanced 2-4. I will grant you that. But I think it slots better. I just like the look of it personally when you've got Backlund, Mangiapane, Coleman together. I think that's your best next look after the Lindholm line. So I agree with you, Mike. I'm on the same page with you there. This read says, great game, huge win. Was great to see Bennett score. Do you have any idea what time the revised schedule is being released? I don't know. It will be tomorrow. I've got a pretty good idea. I don't know the opponents yet, but I know that seven of the eight home games that have been postponed will go during the Olympic break. I think it starts on the 9th of February is when the postponed home games start getting made up. There's about a 2.5-week stretch there where they'll play seven home games. They'll slot in the 8th postponed home game in March, and then I believe the two road games, Nashville and Chicago, will be going in April. Those are the two road games, the first two that they missed. So from a schedule standpoint, I think it'll probably be around 1 o'clock tomorrow would be my guess, but that is just a guess. Whenever it's released, You're looking at seven home games put into the Olympic break for the Flames, another home game into March, and then the two road games into April. That's from a couple of my league sources that I've heard from. So that's kind of what you're looking at right now. I don't know the opponents other than the two road games. So we'll see when it comes out. But I would imagine around early afternoon tomorrow. But again, don't quote me on that. Turn your notifications on for the NHL media or the NHL Twitter site or the Flames Twitter, but my guess would be sometime in the early afternoon. This reads, when can they go back to full capacity? Atmosphere has been brutal at home the last few games. I mean, yeah, I won't lie. It's been different. You know, there is probably, I don't have an attendance on my game sheet today. It was probably somewhere in the drop count was probably somewhere in the 6,000-7,000. If I'm being honest, I mean, let's be completely frank. It is a tough sell to go to a hockey game at NHL prices with no concession, no alcohol sales. It's a different atmosphere. Nobody wants it to be that way. I don't know when it's going to go back to full capacity. I hope soon. I would imagine the St. Louis game on Monday will remain half capacity, but I am hoping, and I don't think I'm being crazy, I am hoping that come the 29th against Vancouver, maybe we can be in a spot where we can go back to full capacity. Again, this is just me. I don't know for sure. I'm just hoping that we shall wait and see. And this reads, Patty, this sets up a big Saturday night game this week. It may be a true battle of Alberta for a change. Edmonton needs a win real bad, and the Flames have to keep building momentum. That comes from Jeff in Lethbridge. Great stuff on the text line at 960-960. It's time for tonight's game in a minute. Brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. Drive home an executive-driven Infinity from just $242 bi-weekly. Calgary's original Infinity destination. Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane. Let's bring you back to earlier tonight here at the Dome.
Live from the Sea of Red, Scotiabank Saddle Dome, Calgary Flames hockey is on the air. Tonight, Milan Lucic and the 17-10-6 Calgary Flames will battle Sam Bennett and the National Hockey League leading 26-7-5 Florida Panthers. Here's Anderson, a shot, stop, rebound, he scores! Rasmus Anderson slaps the puck out of the Panthers' net and rips the monkey off his back. The Flames strike first, they score a power play goal to take a 1-0 lead. Here's Verhaeghe with a shot off the post, rebound, and Marchment can't center, and now Bennett scores. Former Flame Sam Bennett scores in his return to Calgary and gets the Panthers on the scoreboard. They've cut their deficit in half to 2-1. Comes on the face-off, Gaudreau shoots and scores! Flames win the offensive zone face-off cleanly. And from the left point, Johnny Gaudreau puts the puck on net. Sean Monahan may have tipped it in. The Flames score their second power play goal of the game and take a 3-1 lead. And up the right wing side, he stops and drops Lindholm in front. Tkachuk scores! Incredible hand-eye coordination by Matthew Tkachuk, who knocks the puck out of the air and into the Panthers' net. And the Flames have a 4-1 lead. Tkachuk back to Gaudreau in front. Monahan dangles in and scores! Sean Monahan scores his second goal of the game and gives the Flames a 5-1 lead. For the final 5 seconds now. Puck comes back to the blue line, gets by Ekblad. Coleman will chase after it, catch up to it. Coleman just lets it roll by. And the sea of red rises here at Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Jacob Markstrom stopping 28 of 29 Panthers shots. Johnny Gaudreau with 4 points leads the way offensively for the Flames, who defeat the top team in the National Hockey League, the first overall Panthers, by a final score of 5-1.
your Game in a Minute, brought to you by my friends at Hyatt Infinity. Drive home an executive-driven Infinity from just $242 bi-weekly. Calgary's original Infinity destination, Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane. Okay, let's get to the phone lines for the first time on the post-game show this evening. Flames win 5-1 over the Florida Panthers. Let's say hello to Travis on the show. What's up, Travis?
Hey, Pat. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, no, that was a nice game from the Flames tonight. It's definitely a good bounce back they needed, for sure. Eh?
Yeah, they needed a win.
And to do it against Florida and to play that well, I thought they played really well. That was a lot more of what we used to see earlier in the season. And a couple of players that really stood out to me. First one, obviously, was Monahan. I thought that was one of his stronger games. How did you feel about Monahan's play tonight?
Yeah, I thought he had a nice game. It was nice to see him score a couple of goals. Daryl Sutter broke down kind of how he really worked hard to create those two goals. You know, won a faceoff on the first one and the play that he killed on the second one. So yeah, I thought it was a decent game.
And Coleman's looked pretty good over the last several games he's played. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think he's been one of their better players coming out of the pause.
So that's nice to see. So to me, those are a couple of bright spots that I noticed, and Coleman's been trending in this direction. He's got a couple of goals, I think, in his last few games as well. So that's definitely nice to see. And then Lucic, you know, he always comes out with the fire and tries to throw the big check. So you love to see that as well. As for Bennett, yeah, like, you know, it's a shame that he didn't work here, but I don't think Bennett was going to work here. I don't know if it's something to do with the way the Flames handle picks like him sometimes or players like him, but he's sure playing pretty well in Florida, that's for sure.
If we could have got
that Tom Bennett here, that would have been pretty great. Because when we drafted Bennett, I thought that'd be like our first line superstar center, of course, right? When you
he's not that in Florida.
No, he's not. But that's a really, really good team over there too. And yeah, you're right. That's not what he is. That's what we were hoping we were drafting, but that's definitely not what he panned out to be. Yeah, I don't got a lot else to be honest, Pat. But it's just nice to see them win and get rid of that 4-game losing streak and playing how we see them play to start the season. And yeah, I'm just glad to see them win tonight. Thanks, Pat.
Appreciate it, Trav. You have yourself a great night. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes. Thank you. Bye.
All right, buddy. Flames take a 5-1 win over the Florida Panthers. Your Flames radio post-game show is live right now. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444, or you can text 960-960. Light on the phone lines tonight, so last call for phone calls. If you want to jump in, do so now. If not, you still have time. Would love to hear from you, and would love to chat with you following a big 5-1 win for the Flames over the Florida Panthers, a big victory. They needed this one after losing 4 in a row, and an impressive victory on top of that against the number one team in the NHL. Couple of goals from Sean Monahan and 4 points for Johnny Gaudreau. Let's hear from Sean and Johnny post-game following tonight's victory.
Sean, can we just maybe start with the overall team game tonight? What you liked best about your group and the way you came out of the 4-game skid?
Yeah, I thought our special teams were good. Our penalty kill played a huge part. 2 power play goals, and I mean, Mark, you played really well. So I think that was the keys of the game.
And for you personally, what do you hope that a 2-goal night can do for you as you maybe try to get some of that offensive groove back?
Yeah, I mean, Johnny obviously made a great play there, and I think. And the puck goes in. I mean, you get some more confidence in your game, and I think, you want to continue that. And obviously, I want to produce, and I got to keep working at that.
Just for both of you, what were some of the early indications tonight that, you know, things were going your way? It just felt like this was sort of destined to be one of those nights for you guys, you know, from the get-go.
Yeah, I think, we needed a win. I think that was the most important thing. Like I said, special teams are good, but I still think we gave up some quality chances. And, I mean, we gotta be a little bit better here coming back into our end and in front of our net.
Johnny, what was most encouraging for you tonight? What did you like best about what you saw out of your group?
Special teams, I think, kind of been struggling there. Power play, penalty kill. That's what helped us win the game here tonight is, some big PKs, two big power play goals. And you know, we found a way to get a couple more in the third on even strength. So I think special teams won us the game tonight.
you talked this morning about, you know, when you're in a skid, it's not that much fun to come to the rink sometimes. What does this do just for kind of the mindset of your group? Just what does this do to help you guys kind of reset at this point?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I said this morning, I mean, it's difficult sometimes, you know, when you're going through skids like that to, you know, wake up and, you know, come practice. But, you know, after, you know, a big one like that, you know, the guys are excited to, I mean, we're always excited to come to the rink, but, you know, there's, you know, kind of different attitude and when you're winning games and when you beat a team like that, obviously we still have work to do, but, you know, it's a good, you know, stepping stone for us and, you know, we keep pushing and keep getting better every day and go from there.
And if I can just ask you one more, I know it's always weird to talk about a guy when he's sitting next to you, but you know what the questions are like when you're not, you know, scoring at the pace you maybe want to. Can you just speak to maybe what this night means for Sean and what you've seen out of him of late?
Yeah, I mean, he's done this, I don't know how many times, scored 2-3 goals a game. So, you know, it's great to see him get rewarded. Obviously played a big part in our win tonight. So when you find him in the slot, you normally puts a puck in the net. So made my job easy.
I know it's business as usual, but you guys did play Sam Bennett tonight, long time friend of your guys's, and you know, he spent a big portion of his career here. So did you have any interaction with him? And I'm assuming it was a bit weird for him to play you guys. Probably felt like a bit of a practice maybe against you guys.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously played with us for a long time, and I mean, was with the organization for a long time, and I think it was probably weird for him to come back here. And I mean, yeah, I mean, not too much interaction. I mean, during the game, it's friends off. But, yeah, I mean, he's having a good year, and, I mean, credit to him.
That is the voice of Sean Monahan, also heard from Johnny Gaudreau post-game. Those two combined for 6 points, 4 Gaudreau assists, 2 Monahan goals as part of a Flames 5-1 win over the Florida Panthers. You just heard Sean asked a question about former teammate Sam Bennett, now with the Florida Panthers. He was tonight's Alberta-made player of the game, brought to you by Wild Rose Brewery. Bennett with a goal in this game tonight, had a goal, 16 minutes and 46 seconds of ice time, 1 shot, 3 attempts, 3 giveaways. He went 7 for 20 in the faceoff dot tonight. Sam Bennett was the Alberta-made player of the game. The Flames take a 5-1 win over the Florida Panthers. Let's say hello to Ryan. What's going on, Ryan?
How are you doing, Pat?
I'm good.
I was just calling in because I had noticed that Blake Coleman, as you said, has been one of the best players on the team since the rejuvenation. But I've also noticed the opponents being from the south of the Eastern Conference. Is this just by chance, or is it perhaps that he has some sort of internal like drive or rivalry, or is it that he knows the players on Carolina, Florida, and Tampa well?
I mean, I don't think that's like irrelevant or not a factor, personally, my guess would be it's not the biggest factor as to, you know, why. I just think he's played really well since they came out of the pause. And I at no point do I think, I know others, you know, there are some who want to call it a bust of a contract or some who want to compare it to.
Hold on.
I'm not saying you are. I'm not saying you are. Just hold on. I'm saying others have. Read our text line, my guy. It's there's lots of people who don't like Tomlin's contract.
You guys are negative.
Just hold on, Ryan, just hold on. Coleman's been good all year. He's been just fine all year. The offense hasn't been there, but he's been a little snake-bitten. He's been a little unlucky. Go take a look at his career shooting percentage and compare it to where it was earlier this year. But he's still done a lot of really good things this year. He's still been very strong defensively. He's still done a lot in their two-way game. The points just weren't coming. It's starting to progress back to the mean, and he's been able to start seeing some pucks go in, including this one tonight against Florida. So, I mean, do I think that maybe that could have something to do with it? Maybe, for sure. I don't think it's irrelevant, but I think the main thing is he's just playing some really good hockey right now, and I thought he played well against Seattle. I thought he played well against Chicago, too. So it wasn't just the teams from the Southeast United States.
Absolutely. I'm an analytics nerd. I notice the hits and block shots are tops for his position, so in time on ice. So he's definitely always been on my good side. I remember one game, I think it was when we dropped, he had the 6 shots or 7 shots out of nowhere, and it just seemed like that was trending. Anyhow, I'm in a lighthearted. And the other question I had was the latest Tomas hurdle update. Do you think there's any chance? I noticed that yesterday he had a Johnny Gaudreau-like 4 assists.
Hurdle's been very good. Do I think there's a chance? Sure, absolutely. The only problem is where will San Jose be at the where will the Sharks be at the deadline? Will they be in a playoff spot like they are right now? Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
If the answer to that question is yes, or the answer is no, but them only being out a point or two, I'm less confident they deal Hurdle. If they're out of it, which I still think that I still think there's a decent chance the Sharks fall back here, then if that's the case, I think that we might be talking about San Jose moving him and starting to realize that, you know, trading a guy who is a pending unrestricted free agent at that age of 27, knowing that it's going to be a little while till the Sharks are a high-end team again, might be in their best interest. So I think Tomas Hertl is going to be, unless San Jose is fighting for a playoff spot or in a playoff spot, I think Tomas Hertl is going to be the number one target at this year's trade deadline. And there's still lots of time to go before we get there.
Absolutely. I've been rooting for a San Jose collapse nightly and just isn't happening as fast as I'd like. All right. Well, good to talk to you, Patty. Have a great night. Good game tonight.
Thanks, Ryan. Be well, man. Appreciate the call. Let's get back to the text line at 960-960 following a 5-1 Flames win over the Florida Panthers. This reads, I know it's one win against the top team in the league, but do you think the Flames can be amongst the top teams in the league the rest of the way? If not, what kind of things do they need to change to get to that elite status? Really seems like they have the right pieces, but it's that dreaded consistency that always seems to be missing over the last few seasons. I think they've still got some steps to take to be considered one of the NHL's elite teams. I think they're a firm playoff team. So I would suggest that for me, I think the brand of hockey they play is sustainable, and the brand of hockey they play is the best brand to get this team success. I think that for the most part, through 35 games, they have played true to that identity. I think that they, to me, it's not so much a systems or an X's and O's or anything like that. It's not a structure thing. For me, it's a personnel thing. If they're going to want to ascend to being, you know, a playoff team as opposed to being an elite team, I think they need they need to make some additions. I think they need one more top six forward at least. They're probably only, let's be realistic, the most you're going to get at a deadline before the deadline is one more. So I think they could use a top six forward, and I think they could use a another defenseman that they could play on that third pairing and to help them with some depth. Those are the things that I look at. That could, I think, get them a little further up the pecking order. Right now, I think they're a firm playoff team. I think they're a good team. I think they're one of the better teams, one of the two. I think they're one of the two best teams in the Pacific Division. I don't have them at Vegas's level. I don't have them at, like, to me, the upper echelon, the elite echelon is Colorado, Vegas, Tampa, Carolina, Florida, and I know they beat them tonight. Those are the teams that I'm trying to think about missing anybody in that elite echelon. No, I think that, like, right now I have Calgary in the same tier as Nashville, maybe St. Louis. The other upper echelon team, I do think Toronto has put themselves in that conversation too. But I have Calgary in the Nashville, St. Louis. I think Dallas is better than what they've shown. Los Angeles is there. I think the structure they play with puts them there. I think Edmonton is in that mix as much as we're all enjoying their misery of late. So that's how I would phrase it from a Flame standpoint. This reads, Monahan was a beauty tonight, one of the best players on the ice. Throw the man on Lindy's wing and let's see the man blast home a few one-timers from Johnny feeding him in the slot. Why would you want to break up the line of Lindholm, Gaudreau, and Tkachuk? It's one of the two or three best lines in the NHL, and you want to put Monahan, who's never played on the wing there. I don't understand this whole Monahan on the wing thing. I don't get it. I'm not trying to take a shot at that text. I've never understood that. Dustin in Victoria, what do you think about Dylan Dubé lately? I think Dubé's been good. He drew a penalty tonight. He's been playing with speed. I've liked Dubé's game quite a bit, actually. I think he's been one of the guys that has really popped for me, especially after the COVID pause. This reads, I'm going to keep this short and say Johnny's just having the best season I've seen from him in years, if not ever. When it comes to the playoffs, he needs to be the offensive driver for this team and really show leadership and carry them forward. And that will be the next big test for Johnny, no doubt about it. This from Alec, who says, great bounce back playing the Senators. They had too many costly, unforced turnovers that led to scoring chances against. Much better with the puck movement tonight. Great stuff on the text line as well at 960-960. Appreciate it as we start to wrap things up on your Flames Radio postgame show tonight. It is time for your final summary. As the Flames never trailed tonight, they opened the scoring at 4:36 in the first period and didn't really look back from there. Rasmus Anderson finally gets his first of the year. Anderson from Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk on the power play to make it 1-0. Then 7 minutes later, Blake Coleman makes it 2-0 with his seventh of the year. Coleman from Andrew Mangiapane and Michael Backlund at 11:36. It was 2-0 Calgary after 20 minutes of play. Florida gets back within one past the midway mark of the middle frame. Sam Bennett picks up his 16th of the year. Bennett from Mason Marchment and Carter Verhaeghe at 12:36, and the lead was down to 2-1, but it swells back to 3-1 at 16:03 thanks to Sean Monahan. Monahan picks up his 5th of the year from Johnny Gaudreau. Nice redirect on the power play. Flames led 3-1 after 40. They add two more in the first 7 minutes of the third period to really seal this one. First, Matthew Tkachuk, a beautiful finish on a beautiful passing play. He knocks it in out of midair for his 17th of the season. Elias Lindholm and Johnny Gaudreau the assists at 3:47, less than 3 minutes after that. Another pretty one on another pretty passing play. Sean Monahan finishes off his second of the night, sixth of the year from Gaudreau and Tkachuk at 6:43 to get us to our 5-1 final score. Final shots, 31-29 in favor of Calgary. Flames go 2-for-3 on the power play. Florida 0-for-3 with the man advantage. Your three stars tonight, all Flames. Number 3, Sean Monahan with a pair of goals, with a goal and 3 points. Matthew Tkachuk, your number 2 star, and with 4 points, all assists tonight, your number 1 star, Johnny Gaudreau. Hardest working Flame, as selected by Peter Labardius tonight. Strong effort from the goaltender Jacob Markstrom. With the win, Calgary improves to 18-11-6. They're back in action Saturday on the road in Edmonton. Florida falls to 26-8-5. They're back in action Thursday, also on the road in Edmonton. That is your final summary, and for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Peter Labardius, for our on-site engineers Tim Khalil and Jeff Mason, for our reporter Maddie Rose, my name, and for our outstanding producer, cannot forget the one, the only, the best in the biz, Patrick Dumas, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll do it for our Flames Radio post-game show. As next up for the Flames is Saturday night. They will head into Edmonton for round two of this year's Battle of Alberta. We've got it for you. 7 o'clock Calgary Flames warm-up and your 8 o'clock puck drop from Rogers Place in Edmonton. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your Tuesday. We'll talk to you on Flames Talk tomorrow. Final score from the Scotiabank Saddledome tonight. Losing streak snapped at 4. Flames take a 5-1 win over the Florida Panthers. This has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.